Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, as someone deeply involved in higher ed and really into using technology and innovative teaching to help students, I think today's topic is going to really resonate with you. We're diving into how some seemingly straightforward biological concepts, particularly around genetics, can sometimes lead to some pretty sticky misunderstandings.
Yeah, definitely. We're focusing on genetic determinism, that idea that our genes are like destiny, completely controlling who we are.
Yeah.
It's a view that, despite all we've learned about the complexities of life, still pops up, doesn't it?
It really does. And we have a fantastic resource to unpack all this, an article by Mike Klinkowski called How Determinism Creeps Into Biology. He nails the challenge of teaching complex biology without making it seem like, well, like everything's pre-programmed, especially when it comes to genetics.
Right. And that's what we're going to do in this deep dive, explore how this deterministic thinking creeps into biology education and why understanding the inherent like messiness and probability of it all is so crucial, especially for those of us shaping learning experiences.
All right, let's jump in. So Klinkowski starts by pointing out this fundamental challenge, making complex biology accessible. You need to build a foundation so simplification becomes key. But where is that line between simplifying for clarity and kind of distorting the picture, making biology, especially genetics, seem deterministic?
That's a great question, and something I bet you think about a lot when you're designing learning, right? Like, you want students to grasp those core concepts quickly, so you streamline, present things in a clean way. But sometimes that streamlining, it can unintentionally create this impression of a biological world that's like clockwork precise, where each gene equals guaranteed inevitable effect. And as you're exploring new digital tools for teaching, you know, those visually clear presentations might also reinforce this idea of definite outcomes.
Oh, for sure. Visualizations are so powerful. They make those abstract ideas concrete, right? But if they're always showing only the simplest, most predictable scenarios, they could definitely strengthen that deterministic viewpoint. And a perfect example of where this happens is how we introduce genetics with, you guessed it, Punnett Square.
Ah, the good old Punnett Square. No doubt, it's foundational for understanding how different versions of genes, those alleles, might combine during reproduction. You set up your grid, cross the parental gametes, and boom, neat, predictable ratios of offspring genotypes. Like crossing a parent with two dominant alleles, BB, mm-hmm. with one having two recessive, the big nye, results in all the offspring having one of each. Blah.
Classic. Right. It's so clean, so satisfying, like a little math puzzle. But here's where it gets really interesting, as Klinkowski highlights. That seemingly certain outcome, it can create an illusion of certainty. Just because all those offspring have the same blob genotype doesn't automatically mean they'll all look or behave identically.
Right. You can't just stop at that Punnett Square. We have to emphasize that individual variation is a huge deal, and it's driven by, you know, so many factors. Not just that one gene, but the entire genetic background of the organism, the environment it develops in, even random events during development. That's what we call developmental randomness or stochasticity.
Stochasticity, interesting word. Basically, randomness in biological processes, unpredictable stuff happening at the cellular level.
Yeah, exactly. And so while Punnett squares are great for seeing trends across lots of offspring, the key is that each individual offspring, it's like a roll of the genetic dice. It's all about probabilities, not a predetermined destiny.
Gotcha. It's chance, not fate. And this all ties back to Mendel himself, the father of genetics, right? His work with pea plants is still foundational. But even he made simplifications, like very strategic ones.
Oh, Mendel was brilliant, especially in his experimental design. He focused on traits that were clear-cut in his pea plants, you know, dichotomous, like tall versus short, wrinkled versus smooth seeds. Those distinct categories, they allowed him to see those patterns of inheritance so clearly.
But he also had to overlook the range of variation within those categories, right? Tall wasn't a single height. It could vary. Same with short. He grouped them for clarity, which was crucial for his discoveries.
Absolutely. It reminds us that scientific models, they're often simplified versions of a way more complex reality. And as science progresses, sometimes you hit those complexities head on. Klinkowski mentions how Mendel later worked with hawkweeds, and their reproduction was, well, way more complicated, often asexual. Those expected inheritance patterns, nope, didn't see them. It messed with his data, showed, you know, even our understanding of basics needs revisiting as we find more intricate cases.
So it's all about adapting and evolving. And this brings us to variation itself, like how fundamental it is to biology. It's not an exception. It's the rule, the reality. There's this fascinating study Klinkowski mentions by Vogt and others back in 2008. They looked at genetically identical shrimp raised in perfectly controlled, identical lab environments. And guess what? Even then, those shrimp still had measurable differences in their traits. Isn't that wild?
Totally wild. Mm-hmm. Even when you control for so much, variation still pops up. It highlights how important those stochastic processes are, those random events, at a fundamental level. And of course, in natural populations, where genetic diversity is much higher and environments are unpredictable, well, variation explodes even more. Even identical twins with almost the same DNA, similar environments early on, they still diverge as they age. Their traits, health, behavior, all different.
And it's not just about the randomness. Things like commercial breeding, they narrow the genetic diversity within a population. But yeah, it's also that biology, deep down, is full of these chance processes, from how molecules interact in a single cell to the unpredictable nature of environmental influences at every scale.
Right. Those random events during development, how cells divide, differentiate,
yeah.
The sheer number of environmental interactions, all of it contributes to this, like, tapestry of life. Even starting with the same genetic blueprint, the final result can vary so much.
It's really mind-blowing, and Klimkowski uses cystic fibrosis as an example. It's caused by mutations in the CFTR gene. So you might think, okay, specific mutation equals specific level of disease severity, but it's not that simple.
Nope, not at all. This is where that deterministic view falls apart. Research by Corvall and others back in 2015 showed that even individuals with the exact same CFTR mutation can experience a huge range of symptoms. So it's not just the one gene. It's their whole genetic background, their environment, those random factors. They all play a part. Genes influence, they don't dictate.
It's a good reminder, especially when we teach genetics. Like when we introduce F1 and F2 generations and those 3.1 trait ratios, it seems so precise.
And we have to be super clear. That 3.1 ratio, it's the statistical average across many, many offspring. It's a probability. If you're only looking at a small sample, like 4 offspring, you could see results way off that ratio, like 4 of one trait, none of the other, or an even split, or even none showing the dominant trait.
So each fertilization, it's like its own little stochastic process, right? Predictable in the big picture, but individual events, full of chance. And if we present those ratios as fixed, absolute truths, we're kind of teaching that genes have this iron grip on traits, ignoring the whole probability thing.
You get it. We downplay those concepts of variable penetrance, where not everyone with a genotype shows the trait, and variable expressivity, where the severity differs, even with the same genotype. They're super important nuances.
So really hammering this home, alleles influence, they don't dictate. Even which alleles end up in which gametes during meiosis and which gametes fuse, it's all chance.
Right. Biological systems aren't machines with predictable outputs. They're complex, messy, probabilistic, constantly interacting with their environment. And Klimkowski even mentions how some folks have questioned the almost like too perfect precision of some of Mendel's original results.
Mm-hmm.
Though the core principles hold, the point is genes shape potential, not fixed destiny.
This brings us back to you, dear listener, working in higher ed, using technology to boost learning. Thinking about this variability, the probabilistic nature of biology, it makes you rethink how we teach across all disciplines, right?
Totally. Even with amazing tech tools for visualizations and interactivity, we got to be mindful if we're accidentally promoted deterministic thinking by focusing too much on simplified models and predictable outcomes.
Like, imagine teaching complex economics or sociology. Even with fancy visualizations, if they always show certainty, do students miss the nuances, the randomness that shapes those systems in real life?
It's a question we all face. How do we design learning that emphasizes probability, not just in biology, but across the board? How do we encourage students to see those messy interactions, the role of chance, rather than seeking those clean cause and effect stories?
And maybe understanding this inherent variability in biology, the randomness, can inform how we teach everything. If students grasp that even genetics isn't always predictable, maybe they'll be better equipped to understand other complex systems. So as you develop those learning technologies, how can we show that variability, not just present neat, predictable models?
Exactly. By moving away from absolutes, embracing the messiness and probability of biology, we can help students navigate a world that's, well, full of uncertainty and complexity.
So to wrap up, our deep dive's takeaway is this. Biological processes at their heart are probabilistic, not deterministic. Teaching as if everything's preordained does a disservice to students, creates misunderstandings about life itself.
And while simplifying is essential in teaching, we have to be careful. We need those caveats about variability, randomness, how multiple factors interact. If we say genotype equals destiny, we're not teaching biology, we're teaching a myth.
And that brings us to our final thought for you. We're in this age of data, of algorithms that try to predict everything. How do we teach students to not blindly trust those predictions, but to see the variability, the randomness underneath? How do we foster an appreciation for those messy interactions rather than just chasing neat, predictable outcomes? It's something to ponder as you continue your work shaping learning experiences and using technology to boost student understanding. Thanks for diving deep with us.